Thank you, Miss Donna. Thank you, Jack and Alana. That was a good song. I like that. I tell you, it's hard to believe that just a few years ago, Jack was about 3 foot tall, and he got up here and he sang his first song. He's growing so fast. You know, that's the way it is. A lot of things happen from 10 to 14. And I tell my son, who is 15, that I weighed 140 pounds when I married his mother, and he thinks it's so funny, he can't stop laughing. They change fast. Time flies, and Jesus is coming.
Yes.
I'm glad to be here this morning. Just a couple of things I want to get out of the way, and this is not that I want to get them out of the way, but I want to speak these before we get into the Bible. But I want to say thank you again to the church and to the hard workers in the church. You know, I'm thankful for the choir, and to be honest with you, the choir put together what they did, and Miss Donna put it together really quick because some things changed. They did a great job, but don't the decorations look good today? Yeah. Amen. Church looks beautiful, both inside and outside. Thank you to the decorating committee, and also thank you to the grounds, building grounds. You know, it's a blessing, and I want to say this to me as a pastor, to be able to come over here and pull up in the yard and not see knee-high grass.
Yes,
not to feel like, as the pastor, that I have to come and cut the grass and I have to do every job, because it takes everybody. And everybody is important in the house of God.
Yes.
There are no big eyes and little U's, okay? Everybody's important, and I have this saying, and I've actually taught on this before, to tell you where we think you're at. There are no acceptable casualties. Everybody matters, and I ought to say thank you, whether it be the decorating committee, the yard, the ones that work so hard. And I want to tell you something, this sound up here, Brother Rusty has worked extremely hard trying to get the sound balanced, amen? And he's done a great job, and Brother Chris, and Brother Preston, and Miss Teresa, getting things on the board, and it's kind of like, you ever felt like you just need to be perfect? Let me tell you, you can't. Quit trying.
That's right.
I got this thing on my computer screen at work. It says, be perfect. That's the way it is, right? You know, you get responsibility. Doesn't the Bible teach that unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of them? I got responsibility at work. You ever had a bad day? You ever just say, get away from me. I'm having a bad day. I want everybody to leave me alone. Can't get away with that much, can you? But we all have bad days. Bad day at work, bad day at home, even at church. You know, somebody comes up to you and you don't want to shake hands, you don't want to say good morning, you... I'm glad we have a Savior that loves us in spite of ourselves and cares for us. And I just want to say thank you to the church and the hard work, the deacons, everybody. You know, we had a great day here Saturdays a week ago. We had a... It was a spring fling. I'm trying to make sure I get these titles right. And we did it. It was great. I mean, it was great to see all the kids here. We had one come up this morning looking for the animals. He thought that animals need to be here every service. I said, they are. They're just in a different form. Had a great time. Great time. Now, April the 24th, we're going to have a wild game banquet here at the church. We're going to have Tim Lee. If you hadn't picked up one of these flyers, pick one of these up. Need you to buy a ticket, need you to buy a table. We're going to have a tent outside so that we're not worried about the number of people, because you're going to be able to separate. But we're looking forward, Brother Ray Faulkner, to having smoke butts. What did we do? One time we did 40, right? We've done whole hogs. I mean, we're going to probably have some deer stew. I mean, the main course is going to be smoked pork. It's going to be store-bought, for those of you that cringe and think there's a difference between what we get in the woods and what we get in store. It's store-bought. We are going to have some fried fish, and Brother Tim's going to be helping us with that. He's a pro, and, you know, we're looking forward to that. It's a time of fellowship. We're going to be here on Friday night, and we'll probably have some special stuff for those that aren't afraid. But when you come on Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, I assure you it will be something that we'll be honest with you about what it is. One time I showed a picture of Brother Allen holding three big fat possums he killed in his yard. And I stood up here and I said, y'all thought that was pork. Now, y'all laugh. But we had the wild game banquet in here that day. That day we had this fool over here standing. They didn't laugh. I said, that joke didn't go over too good. But we're looking forward to it. You know, we want to, it's okay to laugh. The Bible says a cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine.
Amen.
And fellowship is important amongst God's people because we're family, and we're looking forward to that. be in prayer for that. Let's get these tickets sold. Let's invite people to come. Tim Lee is actually a man who lost both of his legs in Vietnam. And he's going to be here in a wheelchair, and he's the kind of guy, I've seen him. He'll roll down the aisle, and when he gets right here, he doesn't want you to help him. He'll hop out and hop up on the stage, and he'll reach down and snatch his wheelchair up. Now, it's been 15 years since I've seen him. We may have to help him with a wheelchair, but what I hear is he still gets on the stage by himself. And the number one thing he wanted to know before he came is, how many people are you going to have at the church that are going to be altar workers? Deacons, we're going to have to show up. And we're going to have to be here with the same expectation that this man has, that if you come on that day, we expect to see somebody get saved by the grace of God. Because that's why we do what we do. We don't do it for show. We're not, hey folks, this is not the Moose Lodge. Okay, this is the house of God. And what we do here, we do it for the honor and glory of God. And we're going to have fun and we're going to do all those things. But we do believe that Jesus is coming. We're going to have a bluegrass band here called The Servers, and they're going to be singing. And we're going to take you back in time just a little bit that day. One more thing I want to say this morning is thank you for your giving to the church. From a little over a year ago, it's been one of the most difficult and trying times of my life. It's been a trying time for churches because there are churches and there are people that we're meeting, some that are coming to visit here, that say, my church did not survive the pandemic. I want to say thank you, Hiram First Baptist Church, for continuing to support this church when all we had was a Facebook service with just a couple of people here. You know, you have given, and we thank you for giving. Now, you can give in a couple of ways. You can give by sending something to our P.O. box, which we've got on the screen, or you can give by going to PayPal. And, you know, I'm still a guy that writes checks, and I know that's funny to some of you. But, you know, you can go online, and you can give through PayPal, and we actually have more people now that are giving through PayPal than we do giving through sending in checks. This is a change in the times, okay? I remember we met a few years ago here and we talked about it and I said it's coming and they said, that ain't nothing. Well, guess what? It was something. We're going to be talking about it again because it's changed. And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't like change, Brother Tommy. I still like that flip phone. I like that jitterbug, okay? But my kids have taught me how to text. But thank you for your giving. And you can give on your way out. Just a card here I want to read. And church, these are difficult times. We have people in the hospital right now. I want you to be in prayer for Brother Roy Barnes. He's been going through a hard time, him and his family. Reach out. You ladies, I want to ask you to do something for me. And I'll tell you a little bit about me as a pastor. My wife spends more time on the phone ministering to this church than I do because a lot of times I don't feel comfortable calling ladies. I do sometimes. But I want to ask y'all to reach out to Miss Jimmy Lee. Tell her that you're praying for her. Tell her that you love her and be in prayer for them because Roy Barnes has been in the hospital. Since he's been in the hospital, he's failed three times. Okay? Let's continue to also be in prayer for Brother Scotty Beal. God has put his hand on him a couple of different times when the doctor said he wasn't going to make it. Guess what? He's still here. And God is still working in his life. Okay? Let's be in prayer for Brother Tom Payne. I talked to Tom last week, and he said that he is getting better. He's ready to be back to church. I believe we'll see him soon. Pray for Brother Terry Hayes. Terry had a fall, a very severe fall, broke his arm, and really broke it harshly on the top side. They had to put a steel rod in, had to put wires in, but he's improving. He's getting better. Let's pray for him. We're looking forward to him being able to get back and be with us. Remember Brother Cecil Knowles. Had a heart attack, had bypass surgery. Before he could recover from that, he started having gallbladder problems. He's had a couple of more surgeries. Remember Jesse Long. Jesse Long is at home, and she'd love to be in the house of the Lord. But do you know anybody that wants to be in church that can't come? And then you got people you beg to come that won't come. They'd like to trade places with them. Let's remember Miss Jesse Long. Good to have Brother Ricky Mahan with us here this morning. He had a fall. We thank God it wasn't any worse than it was. And folks, I'm not trying to leave anybody out, but here's the point. The list goes on. And in a pandemic time, I cannot go to hospitals. I cannot go to nursing homes. There's been funerals that I've went to where I would have to stand outside while the family was inside because I couldn't go in. You know what God has put on your heart. The pastor can't call everybody. You call somebody. Amen. and you tell them you miss them this morning. You tell the people that are not here, that we've not seen in a year, that we hadn't forgot about them, that we're still praying for them, that God still has a place for them at Hiram First Baptist Church, because until Jesus comes, we are not going to stop doing what we're doing to serve God. And we're still in a building program. It's just running a little slower. We got to wait on the price of wood to go down, okay? All right. There's two more things. I'm preaching already, but I'm going to try to get into the scripture. Invited to a wedding shower, Stuart Teal and Ashley Goff. Brother Greg Goff and Cindy Goff's daughters getting married. And the shower is Saturday, April 10th at 2 o'clock here at the church. And they wanted to announce it to the whole church and just invite everybody. And I'm going to put this on the bulletin board. Some people, you know how it is. Well, you say, well, they didn't even invite me. You're invited. And then I have a thank you card. And this is important, because we can't do the things that we used to do. We got two deaths that we're talking about this week. Our brother Scott Brannon's dad passed away. And I don't know that if you all know this, but Dawn Keaton passed away last night. She was killed in a car wreck. I passed away in the hospital. And, you know, there's limited that you can do. But if God puts something on your heart, you reach out to him. It says, thank you for all your prayers and the beautiful flowers for the passing of my mother, Sue Ellen Huff. We appreciate your love and kindness. And we find peace in knowing she is now healthy and happy with our Lord and Savior. And one day we will see her again. The Bradford family, Brian, Linda, and Lauren. You know, I read that card this morning, and it leads right into the message this morning. What is the value of the resurrection? Brother Allen's already come up. There's a good spirit up here, brother, this morning. I feel it. Now, no wonder. You know. Would it matter if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? I tell you, it would matter. Because all the other things wouldn't be enough. You know, because there are others that have come along and claimed to be the one. You know, they've claimed to be the way. But the tomb of Buddha is not empty. Muhammad came along and they said, well, Jesus is just a prophet, but Muhammad is going to show us the true way. I want to tell you something, folks. The tomb of Muhammad is still got bones in it. Then you got the other ways, the Enlightenment and all the different things that have come along, trying to tell people that, you know, this is the way or that's what the way. And some people say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you really believe it, because after all, there's a lot of different ways that you can get to heaven. The Bible says there's one man and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It also says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me. But would all of that really matter if the tomb were not empty? In Job chapter 14, in verse 14, the scripture says this. If a man die, shall he live again? All of the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. You know, we read the words of Job and we read the book of Job, and sometimes in our lives we may even feel like Job. We're going through things, we've lost people. I've heard of people getting so mad at God, they say, I'm not going back to church, I'm not going to serve God anymore. And you find out, what's it about? Well, I lost someone that was very dear to me, and I don't understand why God would take them out of my life. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things in this life that we won't understand. Job lost a lot. He lost all his children. Lost all that he had. And he asked the question, and we've got a little plaque that we keep out in the foyer, and it's got names of people that are very dear to us, our loved ones, our friends, our families that have gone to be with the Lord. And since we've been here, there's very few families that haven't been touched. Would it matter if Jesus did not rise? It would matter. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, in verse number 32, Paul speaks. And he says, if after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now what he's talking about is the battles that he had had since he had accepted Christ and recognized that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And he stopped persecuting the Christians and he became one himself. But in the manner of doing so, he got so persecuted in his life that he said, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, why would I continue to fight these battles? In other words, if there's no heaven, if there's no afterlife, if God is not really God, and if Jesus is not really the Son of God, then you might as well just live any way you want to live, eat and drink, for tomorrow you die. I want to ask you something. If there is no God, and some people don't believe in God, there may even be some here today that say, I'm not sure there's God. I'm not sure that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm not sure I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I'm not sure that he was really crucified on the cross, and as he hung there, all the sins that I have and you have and all the sins of the whole world were actually fastened to him. And I certainly don't believe somebody could rise from the grave. Well, let me tell you something. If that's true and you believe that, what difference does it make what you do? Right. Nothing matters. It don't matter if you have kids or don't have kids. It don't matter if you obey the law or don't obey the law, because when you die, you're dead. Right. I had a guy talk to me at work. He came up to me and he said, don't try to tell me this Jesus stuff. He said, when I die, I'm going to be just like a German shepherd. They're going to bury me in the ground and I'm going to turn to dirt and that's going to be it. I want to tell you, that's not going to be it. The Bible says this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I want to tell you something. I believe, Brother Billy, when my mother closed her eyes, she opened them in heaven. My dad, who was a man of God, who lived his whole life serving God, when he died and he opened his eyes, folks, he was in heaven with God. There's going to be some people say, if there ain't no God, they're going to open their eyes and they're going to say, I should have listened. I want to tell you it matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's go over to verse number 12. Paul writing in this entire chapter is about the resurrection. He says this. He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. In other words, all of the things of the life of Christ, his sinless life, yes, his teaching and the words that he spoke when they said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and seas obey him. The one who, when he spoke to them, even as just, you know, he was just a young man when they hung him on the cross. They said, never a man spake like this man. The things that we teach and we believe based on the Word of God about Jesus, all the way to his death and putting him in a borrowed tomb, would be nothing, would mean nothing without the resurrection. But I want you to understand just a couple of points this morning. The validity of the resurrection and the value of the resurrection is that it gives power to our faith. You see, the only real God is the one who rose from the grave. We're living in a world today and you're seeing it. It's everywhere. It's companies. You can't get a job today without going through inclusion and diversity training. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I think it's good. Except, the most persecuted people in the world today are the fundamental, Bible-believing, born-again Christians. Okay? It's not that there's a problem with you going to church. It's just don't believe what the Bible says. But what the Bible says is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it says that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven because He is God. In the Old Testament, they would choose a piece of wood that wouldn't rot. And they would carve it out. And they would overlay it with gold. And they would set it up on a shelf. And as they set it on the shelf, they would actually give this God that they created the attributes that they wanted it to have. So that when they worshiped it, it would in return be their God to do what they wanted, to give them what they wanted their way. And we look at that today and we think, we're way too intelligent for that. But people are doing the exact same thing. Because they walk up to a mirror and they look at themselves and they see their accomplishments. They talk about what they've been able to do with their life. They talk about their education. They talk about their abilities. They talk about our technology. They talk about the change in America. And they think we are able to solve our own problems and do the things that we do need to do to create a historic society that's going to be good for everybody. I want to tell you something. You're not going to do it without God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ separates Christianity from every other religion of the world. The song they played a little bit ago, I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him lay. Precious lamb, God's own begotten, he's no longer in that grave. Amen. And the 17th verse says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. You know, I come to be a Christian because I heard a preacher preaching the message, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. There's something that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world. The empty tomb is the validity of it. But it's that He lives. And when I heard Errol Partain preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit came to my bitch. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the preacher is talking to you. And I recognized that I needed to be saved because of the moving of the Holy Spirit. It gives power to our faith. What about this? What about the purpose of life? You see, the value of the resurrection, it gives us a reason to live. Sometimes I hear people say, what's the use? Why do I continue? Why do I really keep on going? After all, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? Here's where people miss it. The reason that you're on this earth is to honor and glorify God. We honor and glorify God by living our life in such a way that pleases Him. As God looks down at us, people say, well, what does God want from me? God doesn't want anything from you. He just wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to accept Him as Savior and commune with Him and speak with Him. He just wants you. You know, when I look around me at the world, folks, my life is not about that job down there. God's just given me that, take care of my family. And as many hobbies as I have, my life's not about that. Whatever it is that you enjoy most, whatever it is, does it really satisfy you to the extent that you don't need anything else? You know why people go through life and they can't get satisfaction over here and they can't get satisfaction over there and they end up in trouble over here and end up in trouble over there? It's because inside of every person there's a God-shaped hole. And until you are in the right relationship with God and you find out what it means to worship, which this is corporate worship. We're here together. The Bible says for us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And then so much more as you see the day approaching, that's the approaching of Christ's return. But worship is more than that. Worship is me alone talking to God. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I could never be alone over here or over there or over there. Can I tell you as a Christian, I have never been alone since I met Christ. I heard them say one time, and this is, you know, some of these intellectuals, I like to listen to them. They say, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound? Y'all, some of you heard this before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just sit and listen to them talk, and they're arguing back and forth. Finally, a guy, he goes through some scenario about the vibrations in the ear and how, you know, because, you know, there's no ear to vibrate or whatever. No, it doesn't make a sound. But I heard a preacher say one time, he said, it always makes a sound because God is always there. It doesn't matter where I go. If I'm way off in the woods by myself, God is there. If I'm in a foxhole and I'm struggling and I'm hurting, and I want to tell you, I've heard the same saying, there's no non-believers in a foxhole. What about today and time that we're living in, and you fall and you get sick and you go to the hospital? They won't even let your wife or your husband come in with you. I want to tell you, you're not alone because God is there. There is a purpose for life, a reason to live, because Jesus rose. And folks, that means He's God. And because He lives, we can live. But I'll tell you something else the resurrection does. It protects our memories. If there's no God, what difference does it make? If there is a God, everything matters. All my memories, all the times. I was sitting downstairs last week studying for Sunday today, and on a little stand there, there's a whole bunch of pictures. Sometimes when I go down there to study, I look at them, and it's pictures that we took home when my mother passed. There's pictures of my dad, even when he was a little boy. Pictures of my granddad, when he was in, I think, the Korean War. Pictures of my Uncle Jerry when he was in Vietnam, when he was just a young man. Pictures of all of the family at the lake when they used to go once a year. And as I looked at those pictures and I counted them, 95% of the people in those pictures have already died. Now, if there's no God, where's your family? As I began to look at those pictures and I thought about those people and I thought about the goodness of God, I thought about the value of the resurrection, here's what I thought. There will be a happy meeting in heaven someday. When we see the many loved ones we've known before, I'll tell you, we're going to see them again because Jesus rose, we're going to rise.
Amen.
They sang that song a little bit ago, 4 days late. Let me tell you something. It's a good thing Jesus said, Lazarus. Because it wasn't time. Kind of like me when I'm performing these wedding ceremonies and it's the practice night. My wife says, be careful, don't pronounce them or they'll be married a day early. He said, Lazarus. One day he's going to come out just like it was said. And he's going to say, church,
yes.
Church.
Yes.
And it's going to matter. All those struggles, there's a reason. Because our future is secure. You know, as we read this, another thing it does is it makes our spiritual battles worthwhile. As we read this first verse where Paul said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beast at Ephesus. So I'll say this for you that are faithfully serving God. Great men and great women fight great battles. Sometimes I have to be reminded of this myself. Paul faithfully served God, but Paul fought great battles. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, this is again the writing of Paul. He says this. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's Paul as he's writing one of his last letters to Timothy. He's talking about the warfare, the spiritual warfare, but also the resistance of people. The people who don't want the gospel preached. The people who don't believe in Jesus, who think that if you believe the Bible, it's even hate speech. It's not new. They did it to Paul. But he goes on down and he says this. He says, he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. You know, this same Peter, this same Paul, he talked about fighting with beast. Then you can go over to 1 Peter and you can find where Peter wrote. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, because Jesus rose from the dead, it makes our spiritual battles worthwhile. It's the times that you have to come down and pray and you pour your heart out to God. And you know, just the fact is, when you're in the kingdom of God and you're a servant of God in America today and you choose to serve God, you're going to carry the load and you're going to fight a battle. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes those battles worthwhile. Because one day I will see Jesus. One day I will see my loved ones. And I will be in heaven. And I'm looking forward to some of the things I'm going to see. The Bible talks about streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. That's what's in the Bible. And that's in there. And that's okay. But I like the part of heaven where it talks about what's left outside. Pain's going to be outside. Sorrow. It's going to be outside. There'll be no tears to stain the streets of that city. It's going to be on the outside. The temperature's going to be perfect. I tell my wife 55, she don't believe me. We're going to have a new body. And I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but your body's going to adjust just right. Okay, it's going to be just right. I heard Garland Odom, a great, great preacher. He didn't give me a Bible verse for it, but he loved to preach. Loved to preach. Loved God. And he loved to fish. He said, when we get to heaven, he said, we can whistle and the fish will jump in the boat. I said, praise God. Psalms 30, well, you got a verse for that? Here's the only one I got. Only one I got. Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Had somebody recently lost a little puppy, and they said, I just can't imagine being happy in heaven not seeing it. I told them, Psalms 37, how do you know what's going to be there? You may walk through the streets of gold, see mom and daddy, here come a little dog, come running, and jump up in your arms. Do I have Bible for that? I just believe when you get to heaven, you're going to be satisfied. I believe you're going to be happy. You're not going to get there and say, oh God, I thought it'd be this way or I thought it'd be that way. When you get there, you're going to be overwhelmed by the blessings of God. Why? Because Jesus didn't stay on the cross. He went to a tomb and He rose on the third day. And I want to give you the clues. And this is very important. The empty tomb compels us to finish the race. Finish strong. When I was a senior in high school, Luke thinks this is really funny too now. I graduated, I weighed 120, 5'6". But I had arms like Popeye. I told him, I said, I could take 30 pounds and curl it 100 times with each arm. He said, no way. I said, way. Had a sign on the wall that said, no pain, no gain. You boys remember those days? I'd get in my bedroom and I'd pump weight. I said, I have got to get bigger. I'm scrawny. And you know when you started to change is when it started to hurt. If it didn't hurt, and I learned a little later, that was called lactic acid coming into your muscles as your muscles would begin to break down and rebuild. And I got to the point that if I wasn't hurting, I wasn't doing enough. Well, I want to tell you something, Christians. When it gets to hurting, that's when God's doing something. When it gets to hurting, when you begin to feel the pain, that's when God is moving on your behalf. And don't quit when you're nearing the end of the race. If you're going to run a race, you got to run till you can't run no more. A lot of times what happens is people quit right before the finish. You ever rode a bicycle till you racing till your legs just burnt? I want to tell you something, folks, Christians, those that are serving God, you're feeling the burn. You're feeling the pain, you're feeling the impact, but I want to tell you, the empty tomb compels us to finish the race. Paul wrote this, last letter. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day. But not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. You know why Paul kept going? You know why he kept going? Even after they stoned him? Even after they rejected him? Because he saw Jesus. He knew that the tomb was empty. And it compelled him to finish the race. Brother Jeff, would you come? Get ready to sing. You see, as Christians, we've already won. We just need to finish the race. See, because Jesus lives, we can live. We can live here, but we can live with Him in eternity. Now, I don't know this morning, but there might be somebody here that needs to talk to God. Amen. Maybe somebody that wants to be saved, that wants to accept. What do you mean? I mean, do you want to know Jesus as your personal Savior? And be able to go to Him and pray and have a personal relationship with Him, that when you pray to Him, you know that you're communicating with Him. If you're here this morning and you're a lady, you come down, we'll have ladies pray with you. If you're a man, you come down, we'll have men pray with you. Young people, pray with the young people. Why do we come to the house of God? We're going to worship Jesus. But I really believe that. You believe this stuff? I really believe this stuff. What's your life about? What do you believe? See, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, none of it matters. But if He did rise from the grave, and He did, Everything matters. You know, there are so many people who have set out in time. I can't cover all this, obviously, in the amount of time we have. But they actually tried to disprove the fact that Christ rose from the grave. Because if you can disprove the fact that Christ rose from the grave, nothing else in the Bible really matters. But they couldn't. One man who was highly, highly educated, you know, Cambridge doctorate, that type, Oxford, Harvard, whatever. He set out to disprove that Christ rose from the grave. Go write a book about it. He did write a book. The book he wrote was Who Moved the Stone? And he wrote about how he went time after time after time trying to disprove the resurrection of Christ. He said, but it was like an island protected by coral reefs that no matter which direction you come, you ran against the wall. He said, I found the evidence to be so overwhelming that Jesus rose from the grave. I no longer am an atheist. I am a Christian, and I accept Christ as my personal Savior. If you want to know Jesus and you want to know what life's about, or if you want to pray whatever's on your heart, if you would please stand to your feet. As Brother Jeff sings, would you please come?
Well, there's a lighthouse on a hillside, it overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out light. Oh, that I might see. And the light that shines in the darkness now will safely lead me home. For if it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. Jesus is my lighthouse and my rock from sin. He has shown his light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Everybody, oh, that lives about us, says tear that old lighthouse down. No, big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. Hey, there's no use in standing around. But my mind goes back to that stormy night when all at once is, thank God I saw the light, and the light from that old lighthouse is standing on the hill, and I thank God for the lighthouse. Oh, I owe my life glad that Jesus rose from the dead? For Jesus is my lighthouse. That the tomb is empty, and if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this old drunk man be? Or if it wasn't for this shit.